everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend John Couch on the other side of the glass. It's Buckmaster on this Monday, March 16th, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Jeff Rogers is here. It is our Monday political face-off. Jeff is the a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well.
And seated to my right, and the gentlemen are approximately 6 feet apart, keeping up social distancing. I made sure I have lathered down the table. There are wipes still here at the station. Maybe I shouldn't even say that, that we have, you know, wipes.
You know,
here.
I'm in the Transamerica building downtown, which has 9 floors and or 11 floors. And we got an email from the management saying that people were stealing the hand sanitizers.
Yeah, they're stealing.
And they were breaking open the toilet paper.
Yeah, and from restaurants, they're stealing the toilet paper.
Well, I've been using your wipes.
Well, they're good. They're good. David Eppheimer is here. David is the current chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and we'll hear from David in a moment. But first, I want to tell people, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing since 1985. Moe specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's has been a loyal sponsor with us since day one. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lawn Dodge and at moesgallery.com. David, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
You had your event, the Lincoln Day Dinner, which, of course, Lincoln Day is normally February, but why did you decide to do it on Saturday night?
Well, our committee that was charged with organizing it found the hotel space we needed, and it wasn't available in February, so we had it in March.
Were you concerned, though, holding an event in this day of coronavirus? And you had, over almost 300 people?
Well, almost 300. We were concerned. You know, we talked about it all day on Friday and Saturday about in weighing what was coming in through the news and the CDC and whatnot. And we decided to go ahead with the event. There were very few cancellations. There were a couple or 8 or 9, and we had a waiting list, and we just filled in from the waiting list and still had 280 people in attendance over at the Hilton East, and it was a great evening. Congressman Biggs was there, and Martha McSally was there, and they gave rousing speeches, and we had a great evening. We had a great evening.
Jeff, are the courts closed here, and have they shut down now?
Well, the Federal District Court has stopped Operation Streamline, and they are not holding arraignments and other non-essential appearances anymore. They've shut down all jury trials in federal court except ones that were already started and ongoing. They've shut down visitation at the federal facilities on South Wilmot Road. Even attorney visits to inmates are not allowed. The Department of Corrections for Arizona has shut down all visitation, including visitation by lawyers to clients. We haven't seen that happen yet at the county level or the county superior court, but they're meeting as we talk, and as I understand it, the presiding judges are meeting telephonically with Chief Justice Brutinel and are going to kind of assess things. I think we really have to shut down jury trials, because what you're asking people to do is you're bringing in a case I've got coming up in 2 weeks, 125 people for a 2-week trial, and then you're going to winnow them down to probably 12 jurors and maybe 4 alternates. And you're not going to get a lot of people who want to sit in a cramped in a room with 14 strangers during this time where people are kind of panicking. And so
they are panicking.
And unnecessarily so, I might add. I mean, this toilet paper thing is what is...
Oh, that's out of control. Is there a role anywhere to be had in Pima County? We couldn't find any yesterday.
I stopped at Bash's yesterday to pick up other items. And I said, walking in the back, this is the Bash's by your house.
Yeah.
And as I was walking back past the meat to get some meat, I looked and there was a guy coming out of the storage room with this giant cart full of toilet paper.
And he was mobbed.
He was mobbed.
David, is this an overreaction?
I think it is. There was a lot of talk about this at the dinner, and I think it's an overreaction. I think that there have been other health emergencies in the past of equal concern.
I was growing up in the early, I'm going to tell you, the early 50s, we had a polio epidemic in this country that was horrible.
I don't like to admit it, but I lived through that too.
Yeah.
Yes, it was horrible, but life went on, and things didn't shut down over it. And you can go forward through all of our history since that time until this event. Over these health crises, whether it's N1H1, which was swine flu, I guess.
10 years ago, the last pandemic in this country.
Right, or SARS, or go back and watch the...
Different? Social media.
Social media, and what is an overreaction? As we have been talking about, and we talked about at our dinner amongst the crowd that was there, I firmly believe that this is going to run its course. There's no way to really stop this through quarantines or social distancing or things like that. It's going to run its course. And we know from this the experiences so far that for the vast majority of people, it's a very low impact event. Yes, the elderly have a greater risk of dying, and that's true.
Which includes everybody in this room.
And the other rook too. John's waving his hand.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's true. So the only reason, in my view, logical reason for any of what's going on is this phrase, flatten the curve. Mm-hmm. If it is possible to spread out the time that it takes it to run its course, and then you put a lesser strain on the medical community, medical resources. Otherwise, this is all unnecessary. And the closings and the services that is going on is going to kill. This is an economy killer. Par on a level with nothing we've ever seen, and it's going to throw us into deep recession or depression, and it's going to be impossible to get out of, and it's totally man-made.
And Jeff, about the economic effect, with the free fall, the market down about 30% from the high, one of our contributors to this program, Jeff Lattice, who flies for JetBlue, sent me a message, and he's saying if people are noticing when they look to the skies and they hear a lot of activity going on, these are giant jumbo jets, Airbus 330-767s, Delta moving just about every big jet they've got. Guess where? To the Marana Pinnell Air Park, where they're going to be parked.
Yeah,
that's happening right now.
Exactly happening right now.
That's happening right now, folks.
And that's going to be a major hit to the travel industry, to the tourism industry, to the airlines themselves. This is just, I can't think of a single thing. Not even 9/11 impacted this economy as much as this. It did for a very short time, but it wasn't drawn out like this one's going to be.
And it was a one-time event. This is the bad news snowball, Jeff, going downhill, picking up momentum every day.
Yeah, and I think you're correct about social media driving this to the extent it has. It didn't exist to this extent 10 and 20 years ago.
No.
And so that's the one thing that's vastly, vastly different.
There's going to have to be, I think, a massive government intervention.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that. Senator Romney today proposed a $1,000 check to every American. Folks, I'm telling you, that won't cut it. My proposal, here's what I think should happen, Dave and Jeff. 2020 federal income tax suspended. This is going to be a year where everybody gets a free ride. You got to pay your 2019 because we're right in that process. But that, Jeff and David, is the kind of massive announcement that has to be made. We've already hit zero on the interest rates. What did that do, Jeff?
Didn't do
market
anything.
Went down 3,000 points.
Yeah, market's didn't down do 2,200 points today. Yeah, last night, yeah. Jack.
It's going to take massive intervention if that will do it, or if that gets us partway there. You know, I think that people aren't thinking about the ripple effect through that's yet to come with all of these lost jobs that are going to result from all these shutdowns.
What will recovery look like? We don't know. How do you recover from something like this?
I'm talking about all these service industries, these middle class and minimum wage earners that get laid off.
Yes.
Or just let go. Then they can't pay their bills. Then the apartment owners can't pay their mortgages because they're not getting the rent. And it just goes on and on and on.
And this has got to be stopped.
And
this is on top of restrictions that were placed on unemployment insurance by states dating back to even when Obama was president, but particularly so in the last 3.5 years. We've seen it, the states and the federal government make it much more difficult to get unemployment insurance once you lose your job. And we're going to have to end those restrictions and make it a lot easier to get that. And the people I worry about are, like David said, people in the service sector. These are not people making a whole lot of money in the first place. And to go completely jobless and lose their tip income and lose their minimum wage income, I mean, these are people that don't have many alternatives. I mean, I have plenty of savings. I have retirement income. And my wife works, and they're not going to eliminate her teaching job. So people like me and people like you guys are going to survive. But I worry about an awful lot of people who are living closer to the edge. There's constantly these studies that say, what if you had an unexpected $500 bill or $1,000 bill? You know, how many people would be able to absorb that without putting it on a credit card and some kind of time payment? And most people can't. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck, sort of hand to mouth. And to put this kind of disruption in those people's laps is very difficult, very difficult. And I think I like the Bill Buckmaster plan.
Well,
I think it might need to be graduated up to income-wise, because there are certain people
it's got to be a big, bold
get their
move.
Taxes
we're going to pause right here and take a break, and I want to tell people about Moe's, who has been so loyal. What a great sponsor. This is, I'll tell you, during these hard times, you get people who will step up to the plate to keep your program going. Moe's one of them. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com. Another one is Steve and his team up at Mona's Danish Bakery. They had a good weekend, which is good. We were up there Sunday supporting these people. Folks, if there is anything you can do, David and Jeff, to help our neighbors right now, go to a restaurant, local restaurant. Go to a restaurant. If you're afraid of the social distancing, do a carryout. But don't just stop going to our local restaurants.
I agree totally.
Yeah, I ate at a locally grown restaurant, Indian Twist, on the weekend.
They're wonderful food.
My favorite restaurant, my wife and my favorite restaurant in town, locally owned by U of A grad, Zona 78. We're not going to stop going there.
Yep. So Mona's Danish Bakery, they're open right now for lunch. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com, home of the Danish Kringle. Oh, my goodness, those almond cookies that Steve's now putting out, along with the macaroons. I've got some that I took home I'll have for my lunch today. But they're at the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. David Eppigheimer is here. David is the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Let's leave the coronavirus for a moment. Jeff, Joe Biden said his running mate will be a woman. Who do you think it's going to be? Well, who's at the top difficult. Of the list? I keep hearing Harris.
I think it's going to be Klobuchar or Harris. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him to pick Harris. I think Klobuchar would probably be the more sensible pick, but either one of them would be good. Klobuchar is kind of not as exciting as Kamala Harris. Harris is, you know, a lot more energetic, it seems, and would make a better probably attack dog than Klobuchar, which is the sort of the traditional role of your vice presidential candidate. But either one of them would probably be very good. There are other names. Governor Whitmer of Michigan comes to mind as well. But there's a lot of women candidates out there who would make an excellent president. And I think this is going to be a plum pick, because the fact is that I think Joe Biden is going to be a one-term president, and the person who's his running mate is going to be a sort of natural to pick for president in four more years.
David, what is the president's path now to reelection? When you have a market in free fall, that was his big issue, obviously, the economy, and now he'll be judged about the way he's handling the crisis. How do you see it?
Well, you know, I think that I agree with you that the economy has always been President Trump's sterling accomplishment, and rightly so. I believe very rightly so. The policies he put into place are what has resulted in the high on the market just 2 weeks ago, or last month sometime.
It seems so, like, but I know it was actually just, only a little over a month that we were
right. And this does take that away. I mean, obviously so. But I don't think that the electorate is going to hold him responsible for that. And if they do, then I think that's an error. I do not deny that we have a virus that's dangerous and it's spreading throughout the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not a denier. President Trump, though, is not responsible for that, and I think his reaction has been appropriate defendable. And he will be able to run on that record. Does this make the path harder? Probably does. So I'm not going to say that it doesn't make the road a little rougher. Do I think it's going to impede his reelection? I do not.
Because you feel the loyal troops will stick with him.
Oh, the loyal troops are going to stick with him.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I still believe he'll win. There's no reason for him not to. On a logical basis. That's my opinion.
Okay, Jeff?
Well, I think his response to this crisis has been pathetic. And we always knew that when a real crisis hit, that Trump, we would see Trump's true colors. And he missed the boat 2 months ago when the World Health Organization was offering us the tests, and the testing has been just abysmal. And this crisis hit at a time when the American economy was slowing, as was the world economy. The Institute for Supply Management has said over the last, even before this hit, that the consumer spending was starting to drop, and we've seen that the manufacturing industry has been in a slump for at least the last 9 months to a year. So we were kind of, you know, like all big expanding economies, you know, the business cycle runs, and sooner or later you're going to have a recession. Now, I think what's happened here is this is going to be a worse recession because of this coronavirus, and it's going to hit us a lot harder and faster than we would have been. But I expected an economic downturn certainly by the end of this year, if not sooner, even before this coronavirus hit.
Mm. I think that his response, you said it's abysmal. I think that President Trump was doing exactly what all presidents in history have done. You can go back to Roosevelt and any other president who served during a time of crisis. You have to rally the troops. You are the optimist in the room when you're the president. You try your best to keep from panicking the entire country, and that's what he was doing.
Calling it a hoax, minimizing it, saying it wasn't a problem.
The hoax has been the overreaction, which may have a purpose out there, and that is to deliberately tank the economy so that you can knock the underpinnings out of Trump's best accomplishment. And I firmly believe that the media and all factors of the left are feeding this hysteria and they're willing to kill our own economy in order to keep him from winning a second term.
Hmm. Well, I don't buy that argument one bit. He's been incompetent and shown his incompetence throughout the entirety of this crisis. And the problem is that, you know, a different president, any one of the last six or seven, would have marched out his experts, paid attention to his experts, listened and did what they told him. He wouldn't have butted in front of them to steal the camera so that he could engage in his own self-aggrandizing speeches. I mean, the fact is that this president is just, he's incompetent when it comes to these kinds of things. And we've seen that incompetence, and the American public has seen it, and he's exposed now for what he is and what we've always known he was.
I
think that's probably going to be what kills his presidency.
Well, you're exhibiting right now what the hardline Democrats have always shown, and that is absolute contempt from this president from the day after, or maybe the day of the election four years
I'll
ago.
Admit I've always held him in contempt. I thought he was incompetent from the very beginning.
Okay,
I thought
so
he was
just parroting that.
I was shocked that the Republican Party allowed itself to be taken over by someone so utterly incompetent, and I'm still shocked that they continue to support him. I mean, there are a lot of competent Republicans out there that I would trust with a crisis like this. He's certainly not one of them.
David, let me ask you something else about, we only have about 20 seconds, the deadline for filing for candidates, isn't that coming up really soon?
Well, you have to have your petitions
petition,
in.
Petition.
You got to have your petitions in by April 6th. Now, I have called on, I have a message into the governor.
You're going to try to get that extended?
Try to get that extended.
Because who's going to want us?
You can't get your signatures right now.
You can't.
People aren't coming to the doors. So I've got, this morning I put in a message to the governor, I called a superior court judge. I've been told maybe a superior court judge here in Pima County will have to make a ruling to extend that deadline.
Well, you know, we've got a legislature in session right now. You'd think this is something Democrats and Republicans could agree on and get 75%.
There's some breaking news for you folks. That's the first we have heard, David, about that you're trying to get that extended.
Yeah. Right.
Now, do you think it's going to happen?
I think so, yes. I mean, this only occurred this morning in terms of making that move. I think it has to be done, and it sounds like Jeff agrees.
Yeah, no,
you know this governor, David. Do you think he's going to try to shut down restaurants?
I hope not.
What's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is no.
Okay.
That's my gut feeling.
I hope that's the case. I really do.
I do, too.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in to the studios today, keeping your distance. That's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to me, brought to all of us by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. We'll be right back. Anthony Jimeno of All Sports Tucson. Talk about a hit to the sports world. That's next. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. John, put that story up on my screen again if you can. The president's holding a briefing. The president recommending Americans avoid gatherings of now. It's down to 10 or more people. It was at 50. And avoid seating at bars and restaurants to stem the flow of the coronavirus. The president said this is not a law, that this is not a mandate, but it's following other states like California and New York, which directed bars and nightclubs to shut down while limiting restaurant services. Well, all of this has just devastated the world of sports. Anthony Jamina, one of the founders of All Sports Tucson, with us on the live line. AG, how are you?
How you doing, Bill?
Oh, pretty good. Trying to do a radio show here all telephonically, looks like. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, there's never been anything like this. I mean, in a sports kind of context. I mean, sports is usually the answer to a lot of kind of national dramas and traumas. After 9/11. After JFK assassination, sports helped bring people in the country together. And now sports is all gone. I mean, and it may be so for a couple months.
You know, I saw Coach Miller at Safeway yesterday. This, you know, if you
what was he buying? What was he buying?
I don't know. He had a cart full of regular items. I didn't see any toilet paper because there wasn't any in the store. But Coach was looking at his cell phone, and he was sort of parked on the side there, taking a pause, I guess. But how weird. AG, think about this. If you had said to anybody, you're going to see the coach of the Wildcats, Coach Miller, at Safeway at 2:30 in the afternoon of Selection Sunday, right. People would say, there is no way that could possibly happen.
Well, that's what we're supposed to be talking about today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you set this up a few weeks ago, it's like, yeah, can you come on and we'll talk about the bracket and
yes.
the cat's path in the tournament? And like, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Let's do that.
Of course.
I guess we can't do that anymore. We can't talk about any of that bracket stuff. It is a crazy world. And yesterday we're, pretty much all weekend. It's like, okay, what can I watch? There's nothing. I don't want to watch the 2005 Big East Championship game. I mean, okay, I know there's stuff on, but I'm not going to watch that.
So
I might go back and watch some old Arizona football games or something. But
What did ESPN, which has, I believe, three platforms, right, on the TV? They've got the three channels. You know, they've got the ESPN, kind of their main line. Then they've got number two and three. What were they playing? I know that they were promoting the one world live event that actually went on was down in Brazil, some kind of cage fighting.
Oh, yeah, I think UFC is still going. I think that was pretty much the only live thing going if you're into that kind of thing. But, a lot of old college basketball games, a lot of their 30 for 30 documentary specials, which are usually really good. So I think there'll be a lot of that. I guess there's some pressure. I think they've got like a 10-part series on the Jordan-era Chicago Bulls. That's supposed to be great, and they're supposed to be coming out with it sometime in the summer, June or July, I think. And there's a lot of pressure on ESPN right now to get that thing done and release it now because people need something to watch. It's supposed to be really good.
It's really sad for these athletes that the seniors, will there be, you know, like in not just the basketball, you've got softball, the baseball season, all of it cut short, track and field. Is the NCAA going to make any provisions to give folks another year or what?
They did announce, I guess last week, that for those athletes, seniors competing in the spring sports, so the ones you just mentioned, you know, softball, baseball, golf, track and field, they will have the ability to retain the year of eligibility if they want it. Now, that's great. There's obviously a thousand details to work out with that because this take it's not like basketball where you get you really like basketball and football. The only sport that's like a scholarship, a one-for-one deal. You offer a scholarship that's 100% scholarship. Softball, for example, is what they call an equivalency sport. So Mike Andrea, who has, I don't know, 15, 18, 20 players on his roster, has to divvy up, you know, roughly 12 scholarships. So almost nobody, pretty much I don't think anybody's on 100% scholarship. One player may be on a 33% scholarship. One player may be on a 50% scholarship, whatever it is. And he's also recruited people. He's also got recruits coming in for next year's roster. So if he has four or five seniors coming back, how is that all going to work? Is the NCAA going to make provisions for larger rosters, more scholarships? Where does the money come from? What kind of classes are these athletes going to be taking? So there's a lot of details to work out. But they did say, yes, for those in the spring sports, you can get back your year of eligibility. It's still, I think they're still in the talking phases for some of the winter sports, basketball, for example. I'm not sure it will extend to those sports. But, you know, for example, in softball, you know, All-American Jessie Harper, who's pursuing a national home run record, well, her quest isn't stopped short. She has the opportunity to come back.
All right. The football spring practice was canceled. So, if there was ever a football team that could have used, right, some of the spring practice, this was the year. This is not going to help generate a lot of buzz for the fall season, will it?
Now, they got about a weekend before they took a break for spring break.
And yeah.
I don't know, you know, I really don't know across the country if any spring practice is going to resume based on the CDC's recommendations of, you know, no groups larger than 50.
No, well, that's now 10, AG.
10?
Yeah.
No groups larger than 10.
No, that was the president is doing the update right now, the news conference. And it's now down, here it is, no gatherings of 10 or more.
Oh, my goodness. News is happening super fast.
Yeah, it really
is.
So,
obviously, how can schools resume spring practice?
Yeah, it's...
I don't know. And Arizona, as you mentioned, sure seemed like they could use it. I'm not sure, even if they held 15 spring practices, including a spring game at Arizona Stadium, which was set for April 4th, I believe. I don't think they could have generated much buzz anyways, to be honest.
No.
I'm not sure what there is to talk about with this team. I mean, I don't want to be like super pessimistic, but, you know, they've identified their quarterback, Brent Gunnell, yeah, sophomore, and he should be pretty good, and that's pretty exciting. I just don't know what else there is to be super thrilled about, because I think when some of the preseason prognostications come out, they're going to be picked, if they're not picked last in the South, they're going to be picked fifth.
Yeah.
And deservedly so.
All right.
Honest.
AG, I got to run. We'll be checking in,
sure,
with you as we go on. Give you something to do to talk about sports, right? We can
exactly.
We can reminisce. All right, thank
I'll
you, Anthony Jimeno, All Sports Tucson. I want to talk about quickly two sponsors that have deserved coverage, that have been with us since day one. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. You can still drive, and you can still visit places like Southwest New Mexico. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org, complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and on it goes. Also, support comes from Green Things, a great outdoor venue, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. And this would be a great time to go by and get some of your plants. So gardening is good, healthy activity in your own backyard. So go by Green Things, greenthingsaz.com for more. And, of course, ZocaloVillage.com, all that great merchandise, imported merchandise from Mexico. What's going on up at Biosphere 2? We'll have an update as we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the 1030 Trusted Voice Studios, Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios for the Buckmaster Show. Biosphere 2 is suspending public activities. Let's get the latest. Dr. Kevin Bonine is Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2. He's on the science faculty at the University of Arizona. His background includes ecology and conservation biology, in addition to teaching undergraduate courses. Often with field components, he strives to share the importance of science, including the process and key findings with the public and students. And boy, if there was ever a time to get some really good information about the importance of science, it's now. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much, Bill, and I appreciate the introduction.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, first of all, with Biosphere 2, what is the plan? What has been decided, Kevin?
Yeah, so what we decided last week, and as you know, and you've been talking about on your show for a while, the coronavirus has led to a lot of changes in our day-to-day lives, and the information and the number of cases and the testing and the potential for vaccines, all these things have been changing very, very quickly. So we decided end of last week that we would close starting this past Saturday for at least 2 weeks and then be assessing as we go forward with respect to when it might be wise to open up again.
Well, Kevin, I want to talk with you over the next few minutes about the importance of science. Just from a personal take, what we're seeing here. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, and I've been in the news business for over 50 years, and I've seen a lot of things happen in this country, and I've lived through some epidemics, some really bad ones, including as a kid in the 1950s, the polio outbreak, and some really bad influenza outbreaks, like the last pandemic was 2010, 10 years ago, the H1N1. I want to hear what your take is on this, Kevin.
Sure. And, you know, you introduced me as an ecologist, which is true. I'm not an expert on these sorts of pandemics and viral diseases, but it is certainly the case that things that we learned from, say, the Spanish flu, other things, early 20th century, even 19th century, we're seeing some of those kinds of patterns coming back. And the rate of transmission and the virulence, or how bad these viruses are, determines the resulting outcomes as far as how many people get sick, how many people die, what sort of healthcare interventions we need. And I think that in Southern Arizona, we still have an opportunity to, as the CDC and others are saying, flatten the curve, slow down the rate of transmission and infection, and keep the numbers of infected folks below a threshold that overwhelms our healthcare system. We don't want to get in a situation like we're seeing in some countries around the world, for example, Northern Italy. We also see the number of cases in places like Washington State and New York City growing exponentially and causing crises. If we can slow things down here through social distancing, that's going to be a very important way to help society as a whole.
What we've seen different this time around, say, even from 10 years ago, Kevin Bonina, the fact that we've got everybody on social media and they've got an opinion on this, which is fine for folks to voice their opinions. But I think we need to go back to kind of a basic science literacy in this population. And for years, our schools haven't been, for whatever reason, whether they can't find science teachers, they haven't been putting science as a forefront in the classroom. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and I think you've highlighted a challenge. If we don't understand collectively how science works, how we need to gather information and evidence in order to make the best decisions possible, then we get ourselves in trouble. And if we are on social media and we are looking for opinions and ideas that are reaffirming or corroborating what we already think, then we're not able to push the boundaries of what we know or don't know. There's a scientist who said very eloquently that science is pushing the boundaries of ignorance. And so you're always trying to figure out where you still don't know something. And with respect to what's going on right now here, we are sort of flying blind. We don't have the testing capacity. We don't know who is sick. We don't know how many people are sick. And so we don't even have the data in hand to be able to make the most informed decisions. And I don't sense that as a widespread society, we are clamoring for that information as quickly as we should be.
What about your active research that's going on with your staff at Biosphere 2? What's going to happen with all that critical research support, the support systems during this uncertain time?
Yeah, fortunately, Biosphere 2 has the dual mission of Earth systems research, the science that we do, and then providing content for our 100,000 public visitors and 10,000 K-12 school kids. We think that we can safely continue the research, the Landscape Evolution Observatory, research in the rainforest, research in our ocean, looking at coral resilience. We have a staff, and the staff is small enough that we can keep the social distancing. And we are working to limit the number of colleagues that are traveling from international locations to join us, or the number of folks that are on site at any given time. But we think that we will be able to continue the research and continue to find out important things about how our planet works.
Your area, you have your PhD, I believe, Kevin, in zoology. From the University of Wisconsin. The component about how did this virus, are we hearing, how did that transition go? I've heard from that it made its way from bats into the human species. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you believe is going on?
Yeah, again, I'm not an expert on that aspect, but my understanding is indeed this was a interspecies transmission of one virus from an animal population into humans. That's not unheard of. It happens fairly often. And that's part of the reason why this is troubling, because we don't really know what this virus does in humans. We have not been living with it long enough. We have a lot more information about the more typical flu strains that we have, and we've been able to develop vaccines, et cetera. But we just don't have the information to be able to combat this one quickly enough. And any time that you have lots and lots of people and lots of wild animals interacting, which is the case in some markets still around the world, you have that capacity for transmission from one species to another.
Kevin Bonine with us, Director of Research Outreach and Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2. One of his specialties is herpetology. I saw my first rattlesnake in the garden a couple of days ago. They are now out, aren't they, Kevin?
They are definitely out. It's warming up, and they love this recent rainfall. They love the humidity, and the bottom of the food chain is kind of booming right now.
So the reason I bring it up is it is always a good practice when you are in the garden to make sure you know where you're putting your hand or your feet, correct?
I would agree with that, and I would extend that suggestion and advice to include don't be putting your hands on your face, and do be putting them with soap and water often in the sink. This is a good time to keep that in mind as well.
Very good point. Kevin Bonine, always a pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Kevin Bonine with us, Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Monday edition. Tomorrow, we're going to talk travel, an industry that's just been probably decimated like a very difficult, difficult time. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Be interested to hear what Ryan has, his take on where we're going from here. That's going to be one of our highlight interviews tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Until then, on behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.